India, no longer the darling of emerging markets? It's been a tough year so far for India. As with many other emerging markets, EMs, the great capital rotation back into the US, brought about by strong US growth, tightening monetary policy, and a strong dollar, has hurt them. It's put downward pressure on India's rupee and left the economy short of vital financing, a reflection of India's own problems, not just the EMs as a whole. Last month, in fact, the Central Bank of India's Governor Urit Patel wrote in the Financial Times that EMs were going through upheaval due to the double whammy of the US Fed both raising interest rates and shrinking its bond balance sheet through quantitative tightening, resulting in a shortage of dollar funding. Like many other EMs, these factors have forced India to tighten its own monetary policy, with the RBI lifting interest rates for the first time in over 4 years last month. Mr. Patel is right that the global macroeconomic picture is currently stacked against EMs. Unfortunately for India, however, that doesn't explain the whole story. As the chart in the printed document shows, Indian government bond yields have increased even relative to other EMs. Since the liberalization of the economy in the early 1990s, India has often been the darling of EMs, particularly for UK investors. This is understandable given that India is the world's fastest growing large economy and is already the third largest single economy in terms of purchasing power parity. It is, however, wracked with its own problems. And the growing recognition of these problems among investors is leading to a dampening of sentiment. First up is its ailing banking sector. India's banks are struggling under the weight of around $150 billion in non-performing loans. That's 11.6% of the nation's total debt load, the second worst ratio in the world behind Italy. Most of this bad debt is in the hands of 21 state-run banks who control around 70% of the country's banking assets. India's private banks are doing far better on the NPL front. In fact, over the long term, it's likely that the current strains on the banking sector will have a positive effect as the old inefficient state banks get replaced by private ones. If you take a 10-year view, currently the private sector's banks' market share is 30%. Probably it will be 60%, says Sukumar Rajai at Franklin Templeton Emerging Market Equity. But regardless of the long-term benefits, the NPL problem will hamper state banks' ability to lend to the real economy, which will no doubt be a drain in the short term. This goes some way to explaining why Indian government debt has struggled recently, even compared to other EMs. The yield on India's 5-year government bond has risen nearly 2 percentage points since December 2016, the biggest increase in the Asia-Pacific region. However, as ever with India, another huge factor in all of this is the political side. Corruption and bureaucratic inefficiencies are widespread in the country and often present serious barriers to growth. Prime Minister Modi's reforms, particularly the tax reform which aimed to simplify and coordinate tax laws across India's many states, were an attempt to address some of this. Only time will tell whether they'll be successful in the long run, but over the short term, they've caused considerable disruption, and in particular, both the infamous 2016 demonetization and the aforementioned tax reform have made tax collections extremely difficult, which has led to shaky government revenues. That brings us to another of Modi's policies. The government has recently opted to increase the minimum standard price, MSP, for certain crops to ensure that farmers make at least 50% more than their production costs. It's a popular policy, but it will undoubtedly put even more upward pressure on inflation. And at a time when the government is struggling for revenue, investors are becoming wary about India and its government bonds in particular. India's 10-year government bond yield had actually been falling this week after selling pressures from the country's banks had subsided, but the announcement of the MSP hike broke that rally, and we expect it to remain that way over the mid-year term. All this leaves the RBI, the central bank in a difficult position. They'll want to stem rising bond yields, particularly if they climb above 8%, but all the ways of doing this have their own difficulties. Back in May, the central bank tried to tackle the shortage of liquidity in the market by enacting their own program of bond purchases, buying around $1.5 billion worth of government bonds. But using that same tactic now to cap bond yields could have dire effects. It would put even more downward pressure on their currency, which is already the worst performing in Asia this year. With the rupee currently at all-time lows as it is, that would be an unpalatable option for the government given the upcoming election next year. Since the RBI isn't independent, we can safely say that's unlikely to happen. The other option would be to go the other way and tighten monetary policy even further. We've already seen this from other EMs trying to curb spiraling inflation, the most hawkish examples being Turkey and Argentina. But that would have its own undesired effects. It would mean choking off a big chunk of growth, which will only worsen the NPL problem of the state banks. Whatever the case, India has lost its shine to many investors. Getting it back will need more than stopgap central bank policies. A decade ago, addressing the underlying problems would have seemed an impossible task. Now, however, having delivered both the largest demonetization and tax reform ever attempted in an economy the size of India, the next government should feel confident to dare.